This podcast is part of the TPS Radio Sports Podcast Network at www.tpsradio.net.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golan.
You're in the big time now.
I know, ESPN Radio 1400.
All sports, all the time.
Power on.
Chosen from among all others by the immortal elders Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury.
The Pro Wrestling.
Sir, I'm afraid you've gone mad with power.
Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector.
I've admired you for so long.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
That's called the power, brother.
Can she do it? She hooks both legs. What's she doing? That is the champion. CM Punk is doing it. He's cashing in money.
And now, here are your hosts, the Power Animals, and the King of all of Italy, Mike Siciliano.
On the Pro Wrestling Rewind, meeting and exceeding all audience expectations, the Power, Andy Knowles, Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, the King of all of Italy, Mike Siciliano, the SCW World Heavyweight Champion, on the Newsmaker line, powered by Rex Hardware University Plaza in Canton. And, man, the whole list, I have to run down the whole list, Mike, of all the wonderful supporters of the program, of course, from Headlocks to Headlines, the official news source for the Pro Wrestling Rewind. We are online on Facebook. You can catch the audio there. You can catch the audio at iTunes. You can catch us where you are catching us right now, more than likely. And that's what a majority of people do, is on SundayNightShowdown.com, of course, on ESPN Radio and the TPS Radio Network. Whew! Did I get everybody?
I think so. But then again, we are still expanding. We are still and always shall be the most the internet virus of wrestling radio.
That's exactly like what that it's still. Become. It's become a virus. We are the most hated show in the wrestling radio media, yet we are listened to widely, not just on the internet, but on the iTunes. There are members of TNA and members of the WWE that listen to us and hang on our words and react to what we say.
That's because we know we are the truth. Well, you are the truth detector, and I am just the chaos, the chaotician, to use Dr. Ian Malcolm's quote from Jurassic Park.
On the show this week, we have a lot to talk about. We've got to talk about what happened this past week on Impact, a pay-per-view, a TNA pay-per-view just around the corner. You want to stick around for that. And, of course, the king of all of Italy, Mike Siciliano, is going to rip into NXT. Lots of other news still to come. I want to go back, Mike. I know you didn't get an opportunity to catch this, but I want to go back to this past Monday night on Impact. And I will say this: TNA Impact moving the program to 8 p.m. has afforded me a luxury that I didn't have before. And now I can watch the 8 o'clock. I can watch the hour. I loved how TNA strategically put the Knockouts match right at 9 o'clock. So you had a choice to make at that point if you didn't DVR. You either had to stay and watch the Knockouts match or switch over to the WWE. Now, I wonder how many people like myself were kind of debating whether or not to make that switch or not. I personally didn't. I DVR'd the WWE, and then I finished watching the Knockout match. But lots of things to talk about this past week on Impact. First off, I want to give kudos. Now I'm getting that echo again. I want to give kudos to TNA. You didn't catch any of Impact at all?
I'm looking at TNAWrestling.com as you're talking, and I'm going to take a peek at some of the highlights that you're referring to as you go off with your diatribe. Go for it.
Well, it's not that it's a diatribe. First off, I noticed I was watching the – and first off, thank you, TNA, for announcing the time limit of a match. That is old school, done very well, and it's one of those little pieces of nostalgia that I really enjoy. So when a wrestler comes down to the ring, they're announcing the first competitor, and they're announcing the time limit. It just takes me back, and it's one of those little things that make me happy. So
I can understand that. I can respect that.
So we get Frankie Kazarian and Shannon Moore, and
watching that highlight as we speak.
Okay, which was a great match. And I noticed they said, well, okay, it was a 10-minute time limit match, and I thought to myself, man, this feels like it's gone on more than 10 minutes. And that's the first time in the better part of a year and a half to 2 years that I've ever felt this, and which is a good feeling, I might add. So I went back on the tape, and I timed the match from the time the bell rang, from bell to bell. And damn it all, if TNA didn't get it right. 10 minutes, I was off by about half a second. The 10-minute, I even said on Facebook, I was so happy about this. The scheduled 10-minute match, which went to a draw, did in fact go 10 minutes. They didn't try to fudge anything. They didn't try to go over or make it short for TV time. They went 10 minutes, and I think that's something to be applauded. And I think more wrestling organizations can really take a page out of TNA's playbook here. With the fact that they are adhering to an old school mentality, and I think it's great.
I'll tell you one thing that I'm enjoying, though. With all of this, I understand everything that you've said so far, but the one thing I'm enjoying is I sat here on this program, and I ripped TNA a new one for giving Shannon Moore an X Division title shot at the pay-per-view right off the bat. But since then, they have done the right thing. They've had these X Division guys going at it week in, week out. You've had Kaz, you've had Moore, you've had a couple of other guys whose names escape me at the moment, and you've had Douglas Williams, now I'm hearing, getting involved in these matches.
I want to talk about that in just a second, too. Go ahead and finish your thought.
There's been a build-up to another title match inside the X Division, which TNA has not done for months, almost years. They've done a very nice job in rebuilding the X Division star by star, with the two focuses being Kazarian and Shannon Moore. I might have a problem with one of them being Shannon Moore, but still, the overall concept is definitely a plus.
I agree. And what I'm hearing that bloody echo again. We got to do something here. Hang on. Bear with me 2 seconds here while I adjust an audio. I especially like this where Doug Williams, during that particular match, Doug Williams came out and sat down and basically said, you know, I'm the champion. I am not the traditional X Division wrestler. I don't need to be. I am a traditional wrestler, a mat wrestler. It's the mode that I employ. And it's brought me the title, which is very true. And, you know, for him to come out and start lambasting X Division wrestlers, take it for what it's worth. But the fact is, he's the champion. I am supporting this Doug Williams character. I think it's great for the X Division.
I have no problem with the Doug Williams character. I've had the pleasure of seeing the guy live one time a couple of years back at a Ring of Honor event when he and Nigel McGuinness teamed up to face Chris Hero and Takeshi Morishima. Doug Williams can go. There is no question about it. Doug Williams is a talented, talented competitor. I'm not sure if I like the Douglas Williams aspect of it, but I'm nitpicking, you know? That's me. I nitpick like crazy, but I have no problem, not one ounce of a problem with Doug Williams being the X Division champion and stirring the pot the way he's doing. I've enjoyed seeing the highlights of these X Division matches where we've got guys beating the crap out of each other, and then Williams coming in there, stirring the pot, stirring the drink, and making things interesting. I've had no problem with it.
I think it's great. I mean, this is the first time where I've actually paid real attention to the X Division. I think I didn't, you know, I was rather critical. I did not come out publicly and say it, but I was rather critical of Doug Williams as the champion in the manner in which he won it. But to his credit, he has taken that belt and he has taken his character and really moved it in such a way. It's almost, and I don't want to use William Regal as an example, but that's the only one that pops into my head. And the fact that he's British and so is Doug Williams really isn't meant to be.
William Regal is a good comparison with Doug Williams. It's a very good comparison.
William Regal, exactly. It's what William Regal did when he was the television champion, when he was the WCW World Television Champion. It was the same type when he was the Intercontinental Champion, when he was one half the World Tag Team Champions. It's the same type of method that's being employed here from a heel standpoint, and I think it works well. I really think it serves Doug Williams well to keep this going, and we talk about the pay-per-view. I want him to retain that title.
Well, in regards to retaining the title, we'll play that as it comes, but I have no problem with Doug Williams winning the belt from the get-go. Doug Williams is a better singles competitor. I don't have the faith in Brutus Magnus that I think TNA does. Well, actually, maybe they don't, since they pretty much blew up the invasion with Rob Terry winning the global title and Williams winning the X Division title. But one thing leads to another. The X Division is slowly regaining prominence in TNA wrestling. And it needs to, because it is one thing that the WWE cannot compete with.
No, they can't. They do not have a cruiserweight championship. They don't have a mid-level, a middleweight type, lightweight type title. And really, unless you're going for the Intercontinental title or the U.S. title, I mean, it's very difficult to be 5'8 and 175 pounds and expect to get a world title shot unless you're wearing a mask.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is some people are going to sit here and rip the X Division, saying it's too much gymnastics, too much flippy bling bling, and too much fringe effects, and not enough storytelling and mat wrestling. In my personal opinion, I love it. It's action that I couldn't even dream of doing, and I have no problem. I could sit here. I have both versions of the Best of the X Division on DVD, version 1 and volumes 1 and 2, and I would watch it day in, day out. I have no problem with it. I love the X Division.
This now has made it more interesting. This Doug Williams going, I mean, there's a lot of people, we've seen this, where wrestlers will come out and try to attack the X Division. We've seen it with Team 3D and other wrestlers, and it just doesn't.
Kevin Nash.
It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But Doug Williams is the traditional size for an X Division wrestler. He chooses not to employ an X Division style. He uses that in a storyline, and I say great for him.
It's got me
interested. And once again, it takes a very special wrestler for me to cheer for, a very special heel for me to cheer for. It traditionally just doesn't happen. And Doug Williams is not at the level of some of the other wrestlers that I would cheer for as a heel, but he's got my interest. I think as Trey would say, the Trey Dog would say, you've got my attention. Well, you have my attention. Now the question is what are you going to do with it, come this Sunday?
Oh, that is a very good question, and we'll have to wait and see.
Are you about as sick and tired as I am about this situation involving Jarrett and Sting?
I'm actually watching it as we speak, and you know what? Jeff Jarrett, I have all the respect in the world for what Jeff Jarrett did in founding this company and putting this company on the map. But this garbage, this whining little, I want to say it, but I'm going to refrain because I'm a professional.
Jarrett's not the issue here. Sting is the problem.
No, I don't have a problem with Sting being a heel. This Sting, I don't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem when Sting took out Rob Van Dam. I don't have a problem with, I'll give you the Sting Dixie Carter thing. That was a bit over the top. I'll give you that.
And that's where I have a problem with it, is that Sting went, way, way too far. And to have, now they're touting the match. We're going to have, the Sting, Jarrett match at some point. And really, it's at this point to me, it's I don't care. I really don't. Because what's going to happen is these two are going to beat the crap out of each other and Jarrett's going to get the win. And really, at this point, Sting needs to walk away. Sting needs to walk away.
I will say that the whole thing is definitely secondary to some of the stuff that's going on right now in TNA. The involvement of RVD and Jeff Hardy into this storyline is really kind of almost non-factor. And while I have no issue with Sting being a heel, and seeing Sting beat on Jarrett and with the roles being reversed from a few years ago when Jarrett was the consummate uber heel and Sting was the face, the American-made icon face of the entire company. I'm not that interested, but I'm not going to sit here and rip it to shreds.
Did I want to leave it at that. There's really not much more that can be said about that.
No issues here. I'm looking at the Knockouts highlights right now.
I want to talk about the new Four Horsemen. I want to talk about the new Four Horsemen. The new Four Horsemen. Skipper, do you have the audio? If you've got the audio, do me a favor. Hit the tape here. This will be 14. Go ahead and hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lockdown is this Sunday, and I am here with the entire team.
Where else in God's green earth would you be besides with Team Flair? This is TNA. The focus of TNA is in this room. Do you understand? You see what just happened? Sting just laid out Jeff Jarrett. Did you see that? Did you see it? Well, that's just an example of what the rest of the night's going to be like. And Hogan, like I told you when I got here, I hate your guts. I despise what you are, what you think you are, who you think you've been. I'm Ric Flair.
Stop the tape. The lies that come out of this man's mouth are just amazing. He loves Hogan. He will get on his knees and kick Hogan's ass. Who is he trying to kid?
Well, I've lost Ric Flair.
The man's lost his mind. His legacy is tainted. The man had an opportunity to walk out of this sport with some dignity, come back into TNA, but don't wrestle. You've already gone ahead. You flushed that down the toilet, and now you're exactly where you deserve to be, and that's in a wheelchair.
Ric Flair, I have no issues with Ric Flair being involved in the wrestling business in a non-wrestling role, but his legacy is
shot to hell.
Yeah, there's no other way I can say that. It's shot to hell.
Skipper, hit the tape.
The only one. And in St. Louis, my town, we at Lockdown will destroy Team Hogan and Hulkamania.
Last week on Impact, my partner James Storm smashed a beer bottle over you, Rob Van Dam. And tonight it's you and me, Jeff Hardy, and everybody in the world knows that you love to fly around like a little birdie. We'll make one thing for certain, Jeff. Tonight, when you step in the ring with me, you will never, ever fly again.
Stop the tape.
Sorry.
That is the Tully, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Tully Blanchard of this millennium.
James Storm is as good as it gets.
He is the Tully Blanchard. He's the Tully Blanchard of the new millennium. I defy anybody on this planet to tell me otherwise. He has the same mannerisms. He's significantly better shape than what Tully Blanchard was in his prime. I don't even think Tully would have a problem with that. But this man acts, talks, reacts, and wrestles like a Tully Blanchard.
No questions about it. I have no problem. I have no doubts in that comparison. I'm looking at what Tully Blanchard 2010 did to Jeff Hardy at the end of Impact, and there's a comment or two I want to make about that, but I'll wait. Yeah. I'll wait until you're done with
it. Let me finish this. Skipper, hit the tape.
Go.
Fly again. Sorry about your damn luck.
Stop the tape. That is Arn Anderson. Is that not the Arn Anderson of the new millennium?
Beer money is as good as any tag team in this business today, past or present. No question about
it. This is the preeminent. This is when we go back, when we come back and we look at this sport 20 years from now, in a time where tag teams really never got the fair shake that they did, there are going to be certain people that stands out. And it's no offense to America's Most Wanted, but when you look at it, Beer Money is a far more dominant tag team. And they are, once again, such a defensive tag team that their defense is their offense, and they get people second-guessing themselves and making mistakes.
And their mic work is second to none.
Absolutely.
Both,
how many times?
Both Brood and Storm are second to none on the microphone. Harris never was a terrific mic worker. He never was terrific. He was good. Don't get me wrong. But he never was preeminent on the stick.
But now he's significantly better. He has. If there's an award for an improvement, he's won it.
Well, if you're referring to Rude, because I was talking for a second there just a minute ago about Chris Harris back with the AMW days.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking. Okay, go ahead.
No, Rude has shown to be a mic worker of preeminent proportions. Storm is a beast. I mean, I'm not so sure I like this little deal about the that we'll talk about in a minute. But overall, Storm is a beast. I mean, Storm is as good as it gets. And Beer Money is why they're not champions is beyond me.
Well, it's gonna happen. It's only a matter of time. Skipper, hit the tape.
And last week, I took out that horrible monster Abyss. Last week, I put out that flame known as Abyssomania in one shot. You see, Abyss, you're fallible like anybody else. You know, you're an animal. You're dangerous, but just like any other animal, you can be tamed. Tonight, I will not only tame you, I will maim you, and that ring will be ours.
Stop the tape. Nigel McGuinness is the Barry Windham, you know, the Barry Windham fourth guy, just came on board, but a very dangerous wrestler, having a very dangerous and tremendous background. And he's not a power guy like Lex Luger, and there really isn't a power guy on this team. But he's the guy that he's the Barry Windham dangerous factor. He's the X factor in all of this, no pun intended.
I have not been very pleased with how TNA has used Nigel McGuinness since he entered into the company. However, with the possibilities that are heir apparent with him being aligned with Ric Flair and involved in this storyline, anything is possible. I have always said, and I'll say it till the day I die, I am a huge Nigel McGuinness fan from his work in Ring of Honor. And the last match that I saw him compete in live in New York City when he was defending the ROH world title, the man is as talented as they come. He is dangerous. He is absolutely lethal in that ring. I want to see him used more creatively and put into the spotlight more than he has been. However, in this idea that you have about the new Four Horsemen, it does fit. It fits very well.
Go ahead and hit the tape.
I mean mine.
Yours, right.
Okay, stop the tape. Hold on, wait. What is it? What is it with this girl? We had the baby doll thing back in the mid-80s. When Ric Flair took Baby Doll away from Dusty Rhodes, they tried to put woman in, God rest her soul, in the 90s. They've always had Elizabeth in the NW, or not Elizabeth, I'm sorry. They've tried to get a woman in the Four Horsemen type faction. It never works.
And this one doesn't work either. This one, I have no idea where they found her. They found her, as far as I'm concerned, they found her on the side of the road. She's not. I mean, yeah, eye candy, sure, eye candy, no problem there. But if you're going to turn around and put a woman into this stable, she's got to be somebody who can fight.
And she's got to be somebody who can at least talk. I mean, this woman, I mean, first off, yeah, okay, she's got a decent body. I mean, she's not that great looking.
She's got to be able to fight. She's not bad on the eyes, but she's got to be able to fight.
I don't know. Throw her, put her in a Macy's on clearance sale day and find out what happens. I'm not seeing it.
Well, I don't know. We've gone from Jen Maraska to this. I mean, is it an improvement, or should we go back to Jen Maraska? I mean, let's move on.
Skipper, hit the tape.
That's what I say.
Hope! It starts with this tag match tonight where me and Desmond
listen to AJ
take on you and Abyss. And it ends at Lockdown between you and I, where I embarrass you and basically just beat the ever-living piss out of you. And there are two things you can do about it. Nothing and like it. Woo!
Stop the tape. That's all AJ was missing on the end of it was his own woo! That was the only thing. Did that not sound like something Ric Flair would have said back in the 80s?
You know something, Andy? I am going to have to disagree. I have been an AJ Styles fan from the word go. No question about it. And I'm still an AJ Styles fan. But AJ Styles would not have even gone to this severe of a promo in any way, shape, or form before his allegiance with Ric Flair. Is it a Flair copy? You could say it is. Yes, you could definitely say it is a Flair copy. But it adds a layer of severity to the character of AJ Styles as this monster heel that has not been present before. Let's remember something. The last time AJ did a run as a heel, he was this goofy little clown, the Prince of Phenomenal, okay? Which was the biggest piece of horse manure I have ever seen on the face of God's green earth. Now, I have not enjoyed TNA's transformation of AJ Styles into Ric Flair 3 or 2 or 4 or whatever you want to call it. But I have to give the devil his due. Ric Flair has brought out a layer of AJ Styles, an evil layer of AJ Styles that he would have never been able to bring out with anybody else alongside him, and has brought his character to a level where he is virtually indestructible.
You can't beat this man right now. He's on a roll.
I don't think the Pope is going to win the match at Lockdown. I'll go out and I'll say it right now.
It'll be one hell of a match.
It's going to be one hell of a match. However, I will say that whoever does take AJ Styles off the perch as the TNA World Heavyweight Champion is going to earn it, and is going to earn it the hard way. Because right now, he is as entrenched in that position as the top dog in this company as anybody has been. There has been no one as entrenched as champion in TNA since Jeff Jarrett was the champion.
I agree. I mean, let's face it. AJ has had a tremendous run. Secondary titles that this man has won. You know, the World Tag Team Championships, the X Division, the Global Champion. He's run the gauntlet. There's really nothing else that this man can do except be the world champion. Now, we go back to the conversation that I had back recently on CJ Bowen's program on the Headlock Lounge, and I had the conversation once again with Mr. JJ Sexay of a Sunday Night Showdown, a great friend of the program, and kind enough to let us use his web stream here at SundayNightShowdown.com. And once again, the battle between is the belt a prop or a reward? AJ is now the champion, is now the flag bearer of TNA after years and years of hard work. Now, a lot of people forget he was the NWA world champion before. He has had a world title run in TNA. But now with the television exposure, with the mainstream presence now that TNA has, his position as the champion is even more important. He has to be, and if he's going to do it as a heel, you got to do this as a heel. If he's going to carry the belt in a Ric Flair-type manner, he's going to have to be a jerk. He's going to have to go out and irritate people, but he's going to have to go and wrestle the type of matches that Ric Flair wrestled in the 80s. They do that, they've got something.
And he has to this point. To this point, he has done it. There's no question about it. I mean, I challenge anybody to tell me that he hasn't, or show me footage that says he hasn't, because as far as I can tell, it has been as close to perfect as you can get for AJ Styles as a world champion alongside Ric Flair.
I originally criticized the use of Ric Flair in this storyline, but I'm going to do a complete 180, and really it has done wonders for the career of AJ Styles.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing a complete 182. I didn't like this at all. I hated the fact that that Styles was being turned into Flair Jr., but it has really turned me around.
We've got to take a break. When we come back, more on TNA Impact this past week. We're going to talk about NXT, and, of course, there is a TNA pay-per-view. It's the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the TPS Radio Network, SundayNightShowdown.com, and ESPN Radio.
Body Shop Fitness and Salon in Potsdam is now open even earlier. Work out anytime, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., Saturdays, 8 to 8, and Sundays, 10 to 5. Great for teachers or any professionals looking to get an early start on the day. Sign up for a one-year membership and get a free half-hour massage and personal training session. Take your first step to living fit today.
It's all going on at Body Shop Fitness and Salon.
Hey, it's the Power Andy Knowles, and I'm talking to anybody who lives in New York, Illinois, or Texas. Have you taken a look at your electric or gas bill lately? If you have, you notice it hasn't gone down. Gas prices have gone down, oil prices have gone down, but your electricity is still sky high. If you're a National Grid customer here in New York State, you know what I'm talking about. So what to do? Did you know that you can shop for your electric service? You can actually shop for your electricity. Take a look on your bill. It's there. I want you to go to this website, www.pocketcashnow.joinambit.com. Ambit Energy can save you up to 9% on your monthly service. That's total service and tax combined. Wouldn't you like an extra 9% back in your pocket nowadays? I think we all could. There's no commitment, no credit cards. Everything is right there on the website. So do what I did. Go to www.pocketcashnow.joinambit.com. Join now and get 15 people to enroll with you, and you can actually get your energy supply for free. Yes, free. No jokes, no commitment. You don't need a credit card. Do yourself a favor. At least check it out. Head on over to www.pocketcashnow.joinambit.com. Save money on your electricity today, because now when it comes to choosing your energy supplier, you have the power.
TNA Wrestling is available everywhere online. Historic matches, archived events, DVDs, music, games, and so much more are available now at TNAVideoVault.com, Apple iTunes, TNA on YouTube, and the Xbox Marketplace. And don't forget to visit ShopTNA.com for official TNA Wrestling merchandise. Everything TNA Wrestling is just a click away. Connect to all the action.
This is Little Lisa, original Glow Girl, and you're listening to The Power Andy Knowles and the King of All Italy, Mike Siciliano, on Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Having more fun than state law will allow, The Power Andy Knowles, the Pro Wrestling Truth Detector. Yes, that is I, the King of All of Italy, the SCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Mike, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Mike Siciliano here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, ESPN Radio, TPS Radio, the TPS Radio Network, tpsradio.net, and, of course, exclusively here streaming at SundayNightShowdown.com. Getting back on TNA Impact this past week, Eric Bischoff, if you haven't known, first off, it's great to see his hair growing back again. That's worth the price of my cable bill right there. But apparently he's been in talks with Ric Flair. We're going to have an Eric Bischoff heel turn, which I guess
guy turns heel more times than I change my socks.
Yeah, but he's already a heel, so he becomes a super heel by turning with Ric Flair. But in any event, we have some audio here on what happened in the Hulk Hogan dressing room. What really interested me about this were twofold. Number one, Hulk Hogan's cell phone looks like it's about about 6 years old. And number two, he can't believe what he's hearing from Eric Bischoff. Skipper, hit the tape.
When I went to New York, you were in charge. I asked you to please stay away from Jared. You did everything but that. I gave him a title shot, gave him another chance. You got right in the middle of it, and you screwed him. Then Jay Lethal Machismo, you threw him to the wolves. And then you're out there fist bumping Flair, running around like you're nuts. I'm watching this. What should I expect? What is going on here?
Stop the tape. It's about time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is about time that somebody came out and spoke the truth. And Hulk Hogan has spoken the truth. He's called Bischoff out on every crap decision that the man has made for the better part of 4 weeks.
Oh, this is going to be tough for me to say. Oh,
Finish it up. Hang on. Skipper, hit the tape.
Hulk, what do you want me to do? Apologize for being me? I mean, we've known each other 15 years. You knew what you were getting when we went into this thing.
A liar.
Look, I am who I am. You deal with things your way. I deal with them my way. Man, it's...
No, I'm not looking for an apology. But what about Flair? What about what I just saw out there? You and Flair in the corner, conniving in the corner. What's that?
Conniving.
Stop the tape. It is conniving. What else could it be? Oh, I'm loving this. Hogan finally has Bischoff by the short hairs, and there is sweet nothing that Bischoff can do about it except back up.
Go on. Finish the tape. I'm speechless. Finish it. I mean, I'm speechless.
Oh, look, you want an answer for Flair? I'll tell you what was going on with Flair. All right? If you haven't noticed, Team Hogan is getting its ass kicked. All right? You taught me first. Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. I'm trying to gain his confidence, Hulk.
Stop the tape. That is a Hulk Hoganism. Anybody who saw Hulk Hogan in the mid-80s knew that he wanted to turn all of the top contenders' face so he wouldn't have to face them. So that is, in fact, a true statement from Bischoff.
Definitely. Definitely there.
Hit the tape.
So I can help you. So I can help me. So we can get back under control. Because this is not necessarily what I would call a great situation. And if you know me, if you really know me, you know you can believe that.
Stop the tape. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is anybody else believing that?
I don't want to agree with this. I don't
you have
like
to.
Hogan
it's the truth. You have to.
This.
You know you want to believe this because it's the truth.
I don't want to do it.
You have to. You have been bathed in the truth.
Oh, finish the tape.
Hulkster, yeah, what's up, man? Hey, been doing some more thinking, a lot of thinking. Something's got to be done about this band. Did you see what they just did?
They didn't play Be a Man, Hulk, did they?
I'm going to change the name of that to Be a Man Ric Flair, okay?
Thank you.
We got to pull a plug on this band, so I think me and you should lace up the boots one more time and let the mega powers ride. What do you say?
You know, brother, after lockdown, we'll get it together.
Yeah.
If you can find my tights, you know, the banana hammocks. Mm-hmm. But that sounds like the best idea.
Yeah.
I've heard all that.
Oh, lock it in, brother. Lock it in.
Ooh, yeah.
Your bowels are right again. Oh, yeah. I'm on the search.
That was the best segment that TNA has had, and I can't even count how
banana
long.
Hammocks.
Banana hammocks.
I can't believe Hulk Hogan used the term banana hammocks.
And I'll tell you, you know, I'm sitting here, and it's 88. It's 1988 all over again. And for those listeners of the program who don't know what I'm referring to, 1988 was the year that Randy Savage won the world championship as a face. Hogan came back in and they got together as the Mega Powers and went on for another an 8-month tear, running roughshod over everybody until this jealousy angle took over and Hogan won the title back at WrestleMania 5. But you know, it's just little things. It takes very little to keep me happy, and I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to that tag team of Jay Lethal. Oh, yeah. And Hulk Hogan. I'm sorry. I
don't want Hulk Hogan. If this turns into a comedy stick and they stay out of the ring, I got no problem with it. But I don't want Hulk Hogan wrestling anymore. Okay? I'm sorry. I can't. I have no problem with them doing promos up the gazoo. I got no problem with that. I can't watch Hogan compete anymore.
But
I can't do it.
But you know Hogan's right. You know he's right.
Yeah,
admit to the fans. Admit to the thousands of fans listening on ESPN Radio, the fans that are listening on SundayNightShowdown.com, the ones that are pulling us up on iTunes and on Facebook, all right? Little Egypt in the world, admit to everybody that Hogan is right.
No.
You know he's right.
No, I'm not going to admit to it.
You
no.
have to admit to it. I'll go back and rewind the tape. You all but admitted to it about 3 minutes ago.
I don't like Hogan.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to like Hogan, but you have to like the truth. And what he said, what the man said, was the truth.
All right.
I don't like Obama. Okay?
I don't like being put in a corner here. This is not... You're bringing out my character in me. All right. You're right.
Thank you.
All right. Now that I'm pissed off.
Once again, the truth has risen to the top here on the Pro Wrestling Radio.
Now that I'm pissed off, we got to move on because there's something I have to blast.
Well, do you want to talk about the knockouts match first, and then I'll let you get on to NXT?
All right, go to the knockouts. I'll wait my turn. I'm boiling over here, but let's do the knockout thing. I'm looking at the highlights as we speak. Go for it.
Okay. We get this match. First off, it was an open contract. I was under the understanding that this was a knockouts title match.
No, I had told you last week it was not. It was an open contract for a match for any knockout against any knockout at any time. It was not for the title.
I want to know where it said in the open contract that you could have any stipulation at any time, day, night, or weekend. Because first they said we're going to have leather and lace, and then we go and we change our mind. Then we say, okay, well, ain't nobody getting stripped down because I don't want you seeing my hoo-hoo. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have you handcuffed. Is that the polite way of saying? I've been told that's the polite way of saying it. I was told that was an American thing. Why are you laughing? I was told that is the correct ism to use here in the United States, and apparently I've been misled.
I never said. Let's move on.
We can't use the word hoo-hoo. Okay, Skipper, please make a note of that. No longer to use the word hoo-hoo when referring to certain parts of the anatomy on the female gender. Let's move on.
God.
So Angelina Love comes out. So they said, we got to handcuff Angelina Love, which really favored Angelina Love because for the better part of a couple seconds, she was beating the crap out of Velvet Sky. But now here's the part of the match that really got to me. No, Skipper, it was not the fact that there were no hoo-hoos displayed. What got me was the fact that that Victoria came down to the ring and basically saved Angelina Love's hoo-hoo, and there was no handshake. And really, I thought that showed a lot of disrespect. I mean, I've been on the Angelina Love bandwagon for quite a while now, and I thought that showed tremendous disrespect on her part. The fact
on Angelina's part, I'm looking at the...
On Victoria's part. I'm sorry.
As far as I'm concerned, there's a build-up here to an eventual match between the two of them.
I'm sorry. Did I say Angelina? I meant Victoria. Angelina Love was the one who extended her hand.
Yes.
And it was.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I apologize. I meant to say Victoria. Angelina Love. Victoria, I'm about to say, just ignore what I just said and insert Victoria where I said Angelina Love. Victoria has been...
Losing doesn't involve the word hoo-hoo.
Okay, no hoo-hoos. So Victoria, Angelina Love... goes and puts her hand out. Victoria refuses to shake it. Now, where, you know, Victoria's hand is injured. It wasn't broken. It was just swollen because she was beating the brick wall over training, you know, doing the kickboxing thing, whatever. But I think this shows a tremendous lack of disrespect on Victoria's part to a woman who won the title. Granted, she didn't win it. And in a match fashion, the title is not declared held hostage because the champion put her title on the line in this fashion. Victoria has nobody to blame but herself.
Look, one way or the other, okay, Victoria cannot be happy with how the title changed hands last week. There is no way in hell that she is going to be happy with the way it was done last week.
But oh, well.
The segment you're referring to...
I'm sorry. I apologize. That was a premature play.
The segment that you're referring to is more on the lines of Tara wanting a shot to get her title back than disrespect on Angelina Love. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
And it definitely didn't involve any hoo-hoos either.
I am so now officially regretting using that line.
What?
Yeah, what am I supposed to say?
But unless you got something else, I got to ask a question here before we move on.
Well, I mean, you go back to the match, and really, I was disappointed. I really wanted to see Velvet Sky pepper, you know, Angelina Love left, right, up, and down, and Angelina make a comeback and have a great win. I mean,
did you honestly think when that match was signed that you were going to get a clean match between Velvet Sky and Angelina Love?
There was no reason.
You knew from the first minute that that match was signed that it was going to end up being a 3-on-1 handicap
match. But creative, once again, they dropped the ball again. They had an opportunity to do something with the girls who bust their rear ends. Notice how I didn't say hoo-hoo. Bust their rear ends week in and week out. They deserve, the fans deserved this one-on-one with one half of the Knockouts champions facing the Knockout champion.
Listen, I had said during one of the shows this past week that I wanted to see some more clean finishes, and I agree, and I'm going to stick by it, that it would be nice to actually see some winners and losers. But the one thing that is a guarantee more than anything else in the world is that when you put this situation in together between the beautiful people and Angelina Love, unless you have literally a brick wall surrounding the ring, you're never going to have a clean finish. As much as that's going to disappoint you, me, and probably half the fans out there, you're never going to have a clean finish.
And how disrespectful of it was Lacey Von Erich, during this schmoz to go out and complain to everybody that her breast hurt. Did you notice that? It's like, oh, my breasts hurt.
Maria Kanellis,
are you kidding me? I was just, there were just parts of this thing that just totally disgusted me.
Creative got it right.
Okay, that's quite enough of that. Thank you. Skipper, did you scratch that? Okay, there'll be no more use of the word hoo-hoo on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. You know that's going to get plastered on every wrestling media outlet in the country and on the world. You know that right now in the chat room on the SundayNightShowdown.com chat room, you know that's all that's being talked about.
They're killing me. They're murdering me. Uh-huh. And you know what? I love every minute of it.
Oh,
bring it on. Bring on the hate.
So you've got Lacey. They got to get Lacey out of there and get Angelina back with the group. I really think they're missing something here. Angelina really deserves to be one of the beautiful people.
I would not disagree with you. I don't know how they're going to do it. Let's just see where the chips fall after lockdown. They seem to be trying to plan even further past the pay-per-view than normal. Normally, it's just straight up to the pay-per-view with a lot of blank space afterwards. They're trying to plant storylines after the pay-per-view. Who knows what will happen next? You know, it's definitely feasible to see Love return to the beautiful people. It's a question mark that is definitely going to be interesting to see.
But I still think, really, Victoria needs to rethink why she did not shake the hand of the Knockouts champion and just walked away. I thought that was very disrespectful.
I think that was storyline. I do not think that was – I don't think that was a shoot.
It doesn't matter if it was a shoot or not. It was disrespectful and it shouldn't have happened. I think Victoria needs to – you know, Victoria is supposed to be a face. And really, Angelina Love, you know, she did the right thing. Had she been with the beautiful people, you would have never seen that.
Okay.
Did anybody care that Abyss got run over by a car, by the way?
No.
Okay, good. I wanted to double check that. And the fact that Christy Hemme was, you know, Fox News alert, Abyss gets run over by a car. Yipty ding dong doo.
Did you read the post on Facebook that the Honky Tonk Man said about Christy Hemme's new contract?
No.
Honky Tonk Man alleges that Christy Hemme got a contract for $175,000 a year for 3 years. Now, remember, this is the Honky Tonk Man we're talking about. And the fact that this contract being as large as it was has really kind of ticked off a lot of the Knockouts in the back since Hemme's no longer an active competitor. And far as I'm concerned, I think it's more Honky Tonk Man just trying to blow smoke up everybody's tuckuses because of what Bischoff has done in public and criticizing him and attempting to get a contract with TNA Wrestling. But the fact is that you still got a lot of rhetoric and chaos around this company. While there is a lot of positives that you can say about this company, I'm looking at one of the positives being this Anderson Angle feud and this forthcoming match at Lockdown, and along with the other aspects we've discussed, there still is also a lot of chaos involved. And until Dixie Carter and the rest of the creative geniuses in Orlando actually get their heads collectively out of their tuckuses, this show is going to continue to get murdered by Raw every single solitary week. And one last thing on TNA before we move forward.
Yeah, I got one more thing. I got one more thing on TNA, and then we can move on.
The fact that they have done what the absolute most ridiculous thing on the planet by playing a replay of Monday's Impact on Thursday. By doing that, you have literally taken the Monday Night Wars and turned it into nothing but a joke. Because whoever is going to sit here and try and choose on Monday night between TNA and Raw is going to turn around and realize now they don't have to choose anymore because Spike is playing TNA again on Thursday. TNA is going to get murdered in the ratings by this decision of having the replay of Impact every Thursday from now on.
I agree.
It's the Monday Night Wars is over before it began.
Yep.
And it's really a shame.
Real quick, TNA needs to mandate that Matt Morgan select a partner to defend those tag team champions with. As far as I'm concerned, Amazing Red is one half the tag team champions after what happened this past week, being chosen as the partner and defending against the Motor City Machine Guns and Matt Morgan basically kicking Amazing Red and saying, no, I got both the belts. The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that Amazing Red is one half the tag team champions. If that's the partner, if he was mandated to pick a partner and he picks Amazing Red and they win the match, then Amazing Red is one half the tag team champions, and I'd like to see somebody try to disagree with me on that.
They've done this before. You saw it before when they did this with the win all the belts in one match. They've did it before with Samoa Joe holding both of the tag team belts. It's exactly what I was saying just a few minutes ago. It's part of the joke that some of the jokes that TNA has put out. I don't like what they did with Hernandez. I don't like anything that they've done with Hernandez ever since LAX was broken up. Morgan's character is evolving. Morgan's character is becoming much more devastating and much more vicious. And I have no problem technically with him holding both belts and literally doing what he's doing by basically taking out the tag team and his partner at the same time. But the fact is that it's killing the tag team division, which is one of TNA's strongest points. I mean, you've got all these tag teams that are getting axe murdered by one guy. Yeah, the one guy is 7 foot tall and 310 pounds, but he's still one guy, and he's axe murdering half of the tag teams in this division before they even get a chance to take the titles.
It is what it is, but it is crap. Let us move on to some other happenings this past week on Raw, shall we? Before we get into NXT, you want to talk about NXT here before the break. I want to talk about, and Skipper, if you could find the audio, I would greatly appreciate it. I want to talk about the well-deserved win for Eve Torres defeating the Fluffball Maryse for the Divas Championship, doing it convincingly without any outside interference on a reversal into a back bridge maneuver, pinning maneuver that I have never seen before.
I have nothing to say except congratulations to Eve Torres. It was a deserving victory. It was a very original victory. It was a creative move. I agree. I've never seen that move before. I applaud WWE for putting the belt on Eve Torres. She has improved drastically in her in-ring competitiveness. I have nothing but positives to say about that match. I saw the highlights on WWE.com. There's nothing that I could say negatively about Eve Torres winning the Divas Championship. Not one thing.
I am so proud of WWE for creative, for putting the belt on this girl. Now, you want to talk about, and once again, this goes back to pushing people before they're ready. Eve Torres, well, first off, you don't have much of a women's division to deal with. So the pushes that come with these belts have been coming in the form of non-title wins over the champion. So right off the bat, Eve Torres gets the non-title win over Maryse. They didn't save this for a pay-per-view. They decided to pull the trigger on this in London. Generally, when they go to London, there's a title change. And this was no different. And I think it's great. Eve Torres, she's a big girl. Eve Torres.
She's not a small girl.
No, and she's a big girl. I mean, she's very, very athletic looking. You know, she's not a Mickey James, but man, oh man, this girl can go. And I think really now, with the draft coming up, there is some significant opportunity for. And I don't want to talk about the draft.
This is what I want to see. I want to see this happen soon. I want to see Eve Torres get into a feud with Serena. I want Serena in the ring competing. Serena is a talented competitor. We know it. We've seen it all over the web through all the independent promotions that she's been involved in. Serena has the heel factors with Gallows and Punk in her corner to cause all sorts of terror for the champion. That's what I want to see. I want to see Serena challenge Eve for the Divas title. I think that would be a lot of fun, and I think that would really help both factors of the women's division. Serena is a talented competitor that is being underutilized as we speak.
What about the Bella Twins' big win in the David Hasselhoff? What was that? It was a triple threat.
The Baywatch Babes triple threat tag team match.
That was interesting to see.
Look, the Hasselhoff on Raw. I loved seeing Kit. Rock.
Wasn't that great?
Kit Rock.
Oh, that was great. And they got
the
original voice.
I have season one on DVD. Yes, I am that big of a nerd. I have season one of Knight Rider on DVD.
Somebody's trying to steal your car.
I know the chat room's going to kill me. Mark that tape.
Somebody's trying to steal your car, Mike.
Somebody's trying to steal my car. Yes, I know.
Okay.
And
that's okay. Just ignore it.
I'm trying to, but it's the Hasselhoff Baywatch match. What can you say? I enjoyed seeing them. It was nice eye candy. That was nice. That was.
What do you? We have somebody. For those of you who don't know, Mike generally calls us from his studio in New York City, and apparently somebody was trying to steal his car. But apparently, I was about to say.
I think that was a word from somebody over in Uniondale telling me I got to get off my Tuchus and go pick her up before I end up getting my Tuchus handed to me. My studio just got invaded, if you couldn't already tell.
Apparently, you're beating your children, too. But anyway, moving on. We have this thing real quick on Raw, the Unified Tag Team Champions. One half the Unified Tag Team Champions, The Miz, taking on D.H. Smith. I thought it was a nice tribute to Davey Boy before the match. And we get a singles match whereby if D.H. had won, they would have got the Unified Tag Team title shot. If they lost, they got to come out next week and say Bret Hart has to say what a great tag team Miz and Big Show are, which we all know is not going to turn into what we're expecting.
Well, yeah, it's just a continued build up to an eventual tag team title shot for the Hart Dynasty. There's no question about it. Hart Dynasty are the future of the uncrowned world unified tag team champions. This is just a continuation of the feud. No problem with the setup here whatsoever. What I'm really going to enjoy is, I believe, what we have coming up this weekend, where on Friday, where the Hart Dynasty will take on the Straight Edge Society, where D.H. Smith and Tyson Kidd will take on Punk and Gallows with Darren Young at ringside. So this is going to be even more of an enjoyable setup as the Hart Dynasty continues on its run towards the tag team titles. You know it's going to happen, and next week on Raw, there's going to be a swerve. There's going to be something screwy going on, and it's definitely going to be fun to watch.
I am curious in that I'm curious into how they're going to get the titles on the Harts. It really has me perplexed at this point how they're going to do it.
They're probably going to wait till after Extreme Rules, I would think. I don't think they're going to get it done before Extreme Rules. They'll probably wait till after Extreme Rules so that the draft can happen and you can get the hearts over onto Raw. I mean, even though that the unified tag belts can be defended on both shows, you probably see the hearts move over to Raw, and then you'll end up getting the eventual build up to a tag team title match at the next pay per view at over the limit. That would be a good setup for an over the limit pay per view match.
What do you see in the future here? We've got very, very briefly, because I know we're going to go to a break. When we're going to come back, you're going to talk about NXT. And we're going to very briefly do picks towards the end of the program. But I wanted to give you your time as pertains to NXT.
Oh man, I'm gonna go, yeah,
ladies and gentlemen. If you're a fan of NXT, you may want to turn the channel after the next segment, as the King of All of Italy fully intends to rip into NXT. But if you look ahead to the draft, let me talk about the championship situation. Do you see the U.S. and Intercontinental titles changing back around? Do you see the women's title and the Divas champ? Do you see Michelle McCool coming to Raw and Eve going to SmackDown?
No.
Okay.
The only title that I think you might see change hands again is the World and WWE titles going back and forth but between both shows. I think the World title will go back to Raw. I think the WWE title will go back to SmackDown, especially with the way the championships are set up for Extreme Rules. I know everybody's thinking Swagger's got this long run ahead of him. I don't know. I don't agree. I think Orton's going to kill him, and I think Orton will take the World title to Raw. Cena's got Batista last man standing. I certainly could believe that Cena will retain, and I don't know if you're going to see Cena go to SmackDown. It would definitely be a major boost for SmackDown with the eventual move to Sci-Fi come October, which is a topic I want to discuss next week, because that is an absolute nightmare waiting to happen.
I agree.
But
it's good. It's good for some markets, and we'll talk about it next week. I don't want to waste a lot of time on it, but it's good for some markets and bad for others. Go ahead.
Yeah, but if Cena were to retain and then get drafted to SmackDown, you definitely are going to have some major league star power on the other side of the coin. So the only belt that I really think might change hands is the World and WWE titles might switch shows.
Let me give you a what if for a moment. What if the one half of the Unified Tag Team Champions goes to Raw and the other goes to SmackDown?
That happened before with Big Show and Jericho. Jericho was SmackDown and Big Show was Raw.
But could they make a play? Imagine this for a moment. Could they make a play where one of them takes one set to the other show and one of them takes the other set to the other show and the titles
break up?
Never
gonna
happen.
They're going to keep doing it the way they've been doing. I like your thinking. It's creative. It's unique.
Well,
it's something different. I like your thinking. It'll never happen.
Before we go to break, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, by the way, Mike's going to rip on NXT, and we have to get to some pay-per-view picks as well. But before we go to break, just in case you missed it, let us take a listen to Eve Torres's Divas title win.
Now Maryse continues to humiliate Eve, looking to put Eve away. Look at this, Eve block. Great block by Eve, rolls her shoulders down. Well, look at the bridge. Oh, he's got her. That was a three count. Maryse can't believe it, but Eve can't believe it as well. On the face of Eve, winning the Divas Championship tonight, her first singles title in WWE.
And Maryse is beside herself, complaining to the referee. There's nothing to complain about. Those shoulders were down for the three count. Watch this again.
Well, after the moonsault came, we thought it was all over, but the problem is Maryse took way too much time trying to put Eve away.
Yeah, Maryse, oh, rolled up, and then as you can see, Maryse could not escape. And Eve is the new Divas champion.
What a way to start Monday Night Raw here in London tonight. Eve Torres, the new Divas champion. How excited is she?
Oh, this is great.
You're listening to ESPN Radio.
Body Shop Fitness and Salon in Potsdam is now open even earlier. Work out anytime, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., Saturdays, 8 to 8, and Sundays, 10 to 5. Great for teachers or any professionals looking to get an early start on the day. Sign up for a one-year membership and get a free half-hour massage and personal training session. Take your first step to living fit today.
It's all going on at Body Shop Fitness and Salon.
Hey, it's the Power Andy Knowles, and I'm talking to anybody who lives in New York, Illinois, or Texas. Have you taken a look at your electric or gas bill lately? If you have, you notice it hasn't gone down. Gas prices have gone down, oil prices have gone down, but your electricity is still sky high. If you're a National Grid customer here in New York State, you know what I'm talking about. So what to do? Did you know that you can shop for your electric service? You can actually shop for your electricity. Take a look on your bill. It's there. I want you to go to this website, www.pocketcashnow.joinambit.com. Ambit Energy can save you up to 9% on your monthly service. That's total service and tax combined. Wouldn't you like an extra 9% back in your pocket nowadays? I think we all could. There's no commitment, no credit cards. Everything is right there on the website. So do what I did. Go to www.pocketcashnow.joinambit.com. Join now and get 15 people to enroll with you, and you can actually get your energy supply for free. Yes, free. No jokes, no commitment. You don't need a credit card. Do yourself a favor. At least check it out. Head on over to www.pocketcashnow.joinambit.com. Save money on your electricity today, because now when it comes to choosing your energy supplier, you have the power.
Final half hour here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind on ESPN Radio, streaming on the internet at SundayNightShowdown.com. From headlocks to headlines, the official news source for this extravaganza of a program, the Pro Wrestling Rewind, the Power, Andy Knowles, Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, the lovable little fuzzball that I am, and the king of all of Italy, the SCW World Heavyweight Champion, Mike Siciliano, on the Newsmaker line, powered by Rex Hardware.
I am definitely not a fuzzball.
Okay. you, sir, have taken it upon yourself. You've really been the guiding light, as it were, as relates to the NXT product. You really have a problem with the NXT product this week, so I want to give you this time to take this opportunity here on the program and explain to the intelligent wrestling fan why they should not be wasting their time with NXT. Go ahead.
All right. Last week, well, when NXT started, I was thrilled. Because obviously, as anybody knows that follows me, I'm a huge Ring of Honor fan. And when I heard that Daniel Bryan Danielson was a part of this program, I was thrilled. I was ready to go. Bing, bing, bing. Let's go to war. Now, I expected this program to be some semblance of a wrestling show, that it would be some sort of competition based upon wrestling matches. And, you know, the combinations for this are infinite. You've got 8 pros, you've got 8 rookies. The combinations are infinite. Pro versus rookie, pro versus pro, pro versus rookie versus pro. You know, triple threats, 4-ways, battle royals, tag team matches, whatever you want to put. The combinations are infinite. And the beginning setup of this program was terrific. You had matches upon matches. You had Danielson, Jericho in week 1, which is an absolute main event style match from the word go. It couldn't be better. Now, I knew, and everybody that is a legitimate wrestling fan knew, that this show was going to tank before it actually started to produce. Now, from what I've heard, it's not even going to get a chance to produce, but I'll get to that in a minute. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we have seen this show go from, in my opinion, the potential for some interesting, promising wrestling to absolute downright CRAP with a capital C. Last week
that's crap
was,
for those of you who can't spell.
Oh, beyond belief. Yeah. I mean, there's no way to joke about this. Last week's attempted reality show Survivor competition was carrying a keg, a beer keg, around the ring. What in the Sam Hill? What in the bluest of blue hells?
Blue hell, exactly.
Does anything have to do in a wrestling ring with carrying a beer keg around it? That's number one, okay? Now, it was a physical competition, so I didn't go ballistic about it because it did involve strength, speed, the whole schmear. It did involve some semblance of athletic ability to carry this 100-pound piece of frickin' metal all over the ring and not end up getting yourself smushed into oblivion. But now, this week comes. And this week, they have what they call a... I don't even know what they called it. It was an assemblance of a verbal contest to which Matt Hot Ass Stryker gives the NXT rookies a topic, and they have to talk about this topic for 30 seconds. Now, I didn't see the... I don't have specifics on it. I wish I had the audio. I don't. But to give you an example, Matt Stryker would go to one of the rookies, specifically Wade Barrett, and go, "Wade, your topic is the wind. Here's the 30-second clock. Go." And I'm thinking to myself, what the blankety blank is this going to do in any way, shape, or form to show any development for these talents? Fine. You want to give them a chance to do a verbal contest in a wrestling-related reality show? Let them promo about each other. Give them a chance to do a promo about an opponent. Do something revolving around what these men have signed to be contractually obligated to do, which is wrestle. They're not political orators. They're not speech writers. They're not speech givers. They're wrestlers. They're athletes that have the ability to turn around and talk up their opponent and say what they're going to do to them. What I saw this week was beyond awful. It would have taken 10 piles of cow manure to turn it to awful. And I'm not talking about the wrestling. The wrestling wasn't terrible. Although I have to admit, the main event was freaking awful because it was a 2-minute squash match involving Luke Gallows and Darren Young. Darren Young, who desperately needs to get his head shaved, and they've been teasing that for weeks on end. I mean, that guy's hair looks like it's been stuck in a light socket one too many times. I mean, this show, there's nothing positive about this show. Last week, the main event, after the beer keg thing, the winner got the chance to main event NXT against Kane. You know what? I hated the contest. I loved the result. Because the result showed that these men are still developing into WWE talents. Because Kane basically turned Heath Slater into a puddle of red-haired goo. This week, Wade Barrett wins this talk-off and gets his own entrance music and his own Titantron. Last I checked, wouldn't it have been reasonable to give each of these men their own music and their own Titantron before the show started? To give them their own identity? How ridiculous is it to see a guy like Daniel Bryan, who has his own identity, regardless of what WWE tries to shove down our throats, the hyperbole, the rhetoric, and the garbage that WWE tries to shove down our throats, Daniel Bryan has his own identity, and he's coming down to, "I'm awesome." Give me a freaking break. This program, which is already being rumored to be removed from the air once SmackDown goes to Sci-Fi in October, this program's not going to make it another month at the rate they're going. And this, and I haven't even scratched the surface of how much I want Michael Cole to be put in front of a freaking firing squad. Well, I can't say that.
No, you can't say that. I mean, he's, you know, for Michael Cole, I mean, he's like that annoying little brother that you had growing up as a kid who just would bother the living hell out of you. But eventually, you know, 15, 20 years down the road when you all grew up, you know, you could finally put up with him. And that's what Michael Cole's become. Believe me, I'll take Jim Ross or, you know, I'll take Joey Styles or Jim Ross over this guy any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen, and I'm being spoon-fed this idiot.
Well, this idiot and his attempted failures in becoming a heel announcer has taken so much away from this program, it has made it almost unwatchable. I'm a student of the game. I want to watch these guys develop. I want to see these guys compete. I want to see which one of these guys is going to get a contract and go on to Raw or SmackDown.
They've already got contracts. They wouldn't be in the WWE if they didn't have contracts. Once
whatever
again,
the case may
the
be.
WWE,
the WWE
once again tries to insult the intelligence of the average fan, saying they're going to win a contract. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you've been living under a rock, they've got the contract. This is just to get them on a show, but I digress. Go ahead.
Well, in my personal opinion, I would disagree on a couple of their occasions because there are some of those guys, some guys on that show don't belong on Raw or SmackDown. I'll give you that right off the bat. In my opinion, there are three guys on that show that belong on the brands. One guy is Justin Gabriel. The other guy is Wade Barrett. And, of course, the third guy is Daniel Bryan. After that, it's Pick'em and barely Pick'em. The rest of them, in my opinion, do not deserve to be on Raw or SmackDown. Gabriel for his athleticism, Barrett because he has the entire package, and Bryan because I think Bryan's the best wrestler on the planet, but that's my own opinion. But this show has gone in the span of 2 weeks from being something I have looked forward to day, week in, week out, and something that I was desperately trying to punch up my Justin.TV mobile application on my little Sidekick iPod right here in front of me, to something I can't even watch, to something that's making me throw up in my mouth. That is how much this has turned into outright crap, and it has made me sick. And I, as much as I have tried to be supportive of the decisions of the WWE and supportive of some of the ridiculous bull crap storylines that creative has fed us, this degradation of this show into nothing more than wrestling meets Survivor meets The Price is Right has absolutely turned my stomach. I cannot believe how pitifully lame this show has become in the span of 2 weeks' time.
Do you hear this, creative? Do you hear how people respond to crap? Do you hear how people respond to the insulting of their intelligence? Are you going to rectify this? You're obviously not, because if you were going to rectify it, you would have rectified it already. But anyway, you would have rectified it already. Excuse me. But be that as it may, now you talk about SmackDown going to Sci-Fi. Now, I like this move because, once again, the WWE, when they first went to CW, not every market gets CW. Upstate New York does not, east of Watertown, does not get the CW. When the CW merged with the WB, we were able to get SmackDown on Friday nights. Now, they go to My Network TV, this moronic move, into this small network that went absolutely nowhere fast, okay, to have that go the way of the dodo, the WWE had to make a hard choice. Going to Sci-Fi on a Friday is not going to hurt them, and more importantly, it's going to pick up a significantly stronger market share for Sci-Fi on Fridays, and it's going to give people like me, who rightfully deserve to watch SmackDown, the opportunity to watch SmackDown again. Because right now, if I want SmackDown, I've got to read the spoilers and I've got to go online to watch it.
Let me play devil's advocate with you on this for a minute. From my own personal perspective, I don't have a problem with it going to Sci-Fi because I have Sci-Fi on one of my TVs, but I have two TVs in my home. One of them doesn't have cable, and if I wanted to watch SmackDown at present, I had the opportunity to go to my downstairs TV, bing, 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 and we're all set and ready to go. With me, though, lately it's been more I've been watching it online anyway, so it doesn't really matter which end is up. But the one thing that was brought up during the course of the week that I want to bring up now that I believe is as legit a point as ever, and I'll credit JJ Sexe for this point, is why doesn't USA pick up SmackDown? USA has this ratings juggernaut Monday Night Raw, okay? Now, granted, USA has some very interesting original programs that are here, there, sparsed in the schedule. But you can't tell me that they couldn't get some extra ratings by putting SmackDown on Friday or Thursday night on their own network and literally turn USA into a promotions juggernaut between them and the WWE. And from there, you just leech the success of Raw onto SmackDown, and you have WWE in one package for the entire world to see, because I guarantee you 95% of the cable providers have USA, while you'll probably have to go down to about 80% have Sci-Fi. Now, there are people that I've heard people turn around and say that people are going to be pissed off that wrestling's on Sci-Fi because of the fact that it is the science fiction channel, and why do you have wrestling on the science fiction channel? I mean, yeah, let's go back to when ECW debuted on Sci-Fi, and the first match was the Sandman versus the Zombie. Now, I am not one of those people that are going to sit here and turn around and say that the Sci-Fi channel has no business picking up wrestling. I personally don't care. I'm a Sci-Fi fan, but I'm not a huge Sci-Fi fan, and I'm not one of these closet Trekkie psychos who's going to sit here and say, I don't want these guys on my network, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I don't care where they end up.
I don't want to give up my Star Trek for wrestling. I want my Stargate. I don't want this wrestling crap.
Well, I've enjoyed seeing SmackDown on network television. I wish they would stay on network television, but obviously they have not done the correct decisions by whatever the case may be, by going to where they've gone. So with this move to Sci-Fi in October, we'll wait and see where the ratings go. I mean, I don't suspect that they're going to improve that drastically once they are in more markets. If they do, I'll sit here and I'll say I'm wrong. I don't think you're going to see a tremendous improvement. I think they're going to be about the same. I think that WWE may have dropped the ball by not combining the both brands. I mean, I went and discussed this. I know this is kind of a tangent type deal, but I went and discussed this in my column this past week. With the way that the brand extension has basically gone the way of the dodo, with ECW disappearing and with Raw and SmackDown interchanging talent on a week-in, week-out basis, why don't you turn around and turn the WWE back into one solid brand? I mean, have the two shows on one network, turn it back into one solid brand with about 40 to 45 talents on it, and then see where the heck you go. Because right now, you've got stuff on this network, on this programming, that is not being done, or that is being underutilized, or not utilized at all, and you've got fans out there that are just being satisfied with less. I mean, I tried last week in my column on FromHeadlocksToHeadlines.com, the official news source of the Pro Wrestling Rewind, leave me alone, Crowley, there's your plug, and I tried to come up with what I called the ultimate WWE roster, where I tried to go through Raw and SmackDown, and I tried to combine both rosters and eliminate the dead weight that is that is killing the ratings on both of these shows. And if you give me a moment to pull it up, maybe we can run down this real quick and let me hear your opinion on the what I would consider to be the perfect roster of WWE talents.
Sure, we got about 3 minutes, and then we've got to get the picks.
All right, let me get it up here real fast. There's going to be 10 seconds. While we're doing that, why don't we just, well, you know what? I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not going to be able to get it before picks, so we'll discuss that next week. So let's get down to the picks. I know I'm check out from headlocks2headlines.com. Check out the chapter 6 of the submission files. Check out my roster and talk to me about it on Facebook. I'd like to hear your comments on it. And until next week when I'll have it in front of me and maybe we can go through it then, check it out on from headlocks2headlines.com. Picks time, lockdown pay-per-view. Lock and load, Captain. Let's go.
The next chapter in the Hogan Bischoff regime is about to unfold in TNA Wrestling's most brutal pay-per-view of the year. Lockdown. It's a jagged battlefield where every heated feud and championship will be settled inside the steel cage. Plus, the Harbinger of Hell returns. Lethal Lockdown. TNA Wrestling presents Lockdown. Live Sunday, April 18th, only on pay-per-view.
So we have this TNA pay-per-view coming around the corner. Every match inside of the steel cage. More cage matches than you've ever seen.
And I like the lockdown concept. I'm not going to sit here and kill it. I like the lockdown concept. I've enjoyed seeing these pay-per-views.
But does it make sense to have Lethal Lockdown and not just put on a second ring and make it War Games?
Well, it could work. That could work to put it in, to turn it into War Games. But to be honest, I've enjoyed. There have been quite a few memories from these lockdown pay-per-views. I'm not going to sit here and. I mean, from the positive memories of the Lethal Lockdown matches to the negative memories of 3D LAX and the so-called electrified cage match in St. Louis and how much of a cluster bomb that was.
Yeah.
I mean, when they use this pay-per-view and they build it the way they have, it's actually been a positive setup. But, of course, then you have the stupidity that they did last year at No Surrender when they did another Lethal Lockdown match. I know TNA is gimmick heavy and they love doing gimmick matches, but if you're going to have these matches mean anything, keep them once a year. Keep King of the Mountain at Slammiversary, keep Lethal Lockdown here, and then let's see how good these matches will turn out. Most of them turn out very well.
Let's go ahead and let's get to the picks right now. In the cage, tag team match, Team 3D taking on Scott Hall and Six-Pac.
Scott Hall and Six-Pac. Oh wait, I know why. Okay, Scott Hall. Still a lot more entertaining than Batista. Yep. That's number one.
And you'll never. You will not see this man in a pair of wrestling tights ever again.
That is definitely true.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
That is probably a good thing. 3D against the band, or something to some semblance of the band. I'm gonna say 3D. This is going to be a dirty finish because there hasn't been a match involving Hall and Waltman that hasn't been a dirty finish. It's a tough one. It's almost a pick'em. I'm going to take the band because I think that 3D can afford the loss a lot more than the band can, because I think that TNA has to realize that they only have a short-term run with Hall, Waltman, and Kevin Nash before either A, their bodies break down, or B, the fans just become sick of them. I'll take the band.
I'm going to take 3D. I think Six-Pac and Hall can afford to lose this match, and it really doesn't mean much because this resurgence of the NWO just hasn't gone the way it was meant to. And actually, that's a good thing because God knows that's the last thing we need to see. In the cage, Eric Young taking on Kevin Nash.
What the heck happened to Kevin Nash's hair?
I don't know. The
same
thing that happened.
I sat here and I griped and kvetched about Kevin Nash's hair being as gray as it was.
Same thing happened to Maurice.
Now it looks like a freaking vanilla ice cream cone.
Ice, baby.
EY wins this. EY needs this win because EY, he gets this win and he becomes a legitimate world heavyweight title contender. EY doesn't win this match. He stays in the mid-card garbage that he's been mired in for years. EY wins this, he could actually challenge AJ for the belt. I think EY takes the match.
I don't think he does. I think Kevin Nash, as selfish as he is, is going to take the win. And it's going to come down to some mistake on Eric Young's part, and Eric Young's going to get buried again. I'm picking Kevin Young, or Kevin Nash.
I could see your point happening just as much as mine. So it's a sad thing to say, but I could definitely see it.
In the cage. See how that's going here. In the cage.
That's boring.
The beautiful people taking on Madison Rayne and Velvet Sky taking on Angelina Love and Tara. Once again, TNA gets it wrong. This should be a match for the TNA Knockouts Tag Team Championship. The TNA Knockouts title should be nowhere remotely involved in being defended in this match. And yes, if the title changes hands, I will forewarn you now, TNA, if the Knockouts Championship changes hands in this match, the title's declared vacant, you have a problem on your hands. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. Find a way to make this match end in a situation where nobody is going to win clean. I don't want to see the Knockouts title change in hands. I like the fact that Angelina Love is the champion. I don't want to see the Knockout titles leaving the beautiful people. Now, this is a cage match, so there are no rules. This is a fight to the finish. Am I correct?
Last I checked. Question, both the Knockout title and the tag belts are on the line, or just the Knockout title is on the line?
All titles are on the line. If either one of if Madison Rayne or Velvet Sky pin either Angelina Love or Tara, it doesn't matter, then they win the championship. Now here's an interesting thought. Imagine this for a moment. Let us go off into Bizarro Land, which is exactly what TNA has become.
And Bizarro Land equals Orlando, Florida.
Let's say that Tara decides that she doesn't like Angelina Love anymore.
Which is definitely going to happen.
And decides that she wants to pin Angelina Love and win the title. Now, I ask you this. There are no rules in this match. There is nothing to stop Tara from pinning Angelina Love and forcing the ref to make a three count. So what if something were to happen and alliances are switched? And Tara pins Angelina Love. Or we've been talking about Angelina Love rejoining the beautiful people. What if Angelina Love turns on Victoria in this match? And the match ends in no decision and Angelina returns to the beautiful people with the Knockout title. There is something about this match that stinks to high hell. There's just something about this match I don't like. And I don't see the Knockouts title or the tag titles changing hands. There's just something in me that's saying that there's going to be some schmoz, something's going to go down that's going to cause this match to end in a no decision.
You know what? I agree with you. This match does have its definite drawbacks. I do see it turning into a 3-on-1 contest, either with Tara joining up with the but Tara turning on Angelina or Angelina turning on Tara. I definitely do not see this match ending clean in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. For the X Division Championship, in the cage, Frankie Kazarian, Shannon Moore taking on the champion, Douglas Williams, for the X Division Championship. This title needs to stay on Doug Williams. We said it earlier in the broadcast. He's had a decent run as champion. I like this simple wrestler holding the X Division Championship storyline they're going with, and I say Doug Williams retains.
They're pushing Frankie Kazarian huge to eventually take the X Division title sooner rather than later. I'm not sure that this is the spot to do it, especially when you have Shannon Moore involved. I would not be the least bit surprised to see Williams pin Moore to keep the title and to keep Kazarian going forward and staying strong to an eventual one-on-one X Division title shot, perhaps at the next pay-per-view or on an Impact broadcast. I'll agree, Williams retains.
In the cage, Kurt Angle taking on Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Kennedy. This is slowly turning into the Paul Jones Boogie Woogie Man feud of the year.
As long as it doesn't involve, I won't say it.
I could care less who wins this match, but I am picking Mr. Kennedy.
I have to say
Kennedy.
Okay. I want to say a word right now, but I'm not going to.
Okay. What word would that be?
Three letters, begins with H.
Okay. How you feeling? Hot, hot, hot. How you feeling? Hot, hot, hot.
This feud has really, I have really been impressed with this feud, I have to admit.
It's been a decent feud. I just think it's been boring.
What's that?
I said it's been a great feud. I just think it's boring.
No, I don't. I disagree. I really think it's been kind of enjoyable. I mean, it's also been kind of predictable, though, which might have been the reason why you would consider it to be boring. It's been literally almost week in, week out. One guy ends up getting the crap beat out of him. Almost on cue. I mean, first week it's Angle getting the Warrior medal to the face. Next week it's Anderson by the entire armed forces. The next week Angle ends up going to a table or something like that. It's been a predictable feud, but it's been enjoyable. It's been an intense, brutal feud and involving the one aspect of wrestling that I enjoy the most. Two men standing in the middle of the ring hitting each other as hard as they can, and the last man standing wins. The thing that I want to know here is Kurt Angle really at the top of his game? Is he healthy? Is he ready to go? Is he prepared to go into a match that is going to take a humongous toll on his body against a man who is notorious for being potentially dangerous in the ring? The answer to that question, I believe, is no. I think Anderson will win the match as well.
For the TNA World Heavyweight Championship in the cage, the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, taking on AJ Styles, the champion. It's foregone here. It's ordained. It's already been written in blood. God himself has come down to earth and declared AJ Styles the winner.
The Pope has really risen to the occasion and has become a main event star in this company. Much more, he has shown much more development in TNA in a shorter period of time as he's been with the company than he did in his entire run with the WWE. However, as we have said multiple times on this show, and as we discussed in depth earlier in the show tonight, AJ Styles is as entrenched as a world champion as there has been in the entire 7+ years of this company. It's going to take a gargantuan effort to unseat him, and I don't think the Pope has that ability in his system. I don't think he has the resources at his disposal to get the job done. AJ retains.
And finally, the Lethal Lockdown in the cage. Team Hogan, captained by Abyss, Jeff Jarrett, Rob Van Dam, and Jeff Hardy to take on Team Flair. Sting, the captain, Beer Money, and Nigel McGuinness on the other side. Hogan and Flair nowhere in the match. Thank God. And for those of you who don't know what Lethal Lockdown
is, Andy, you don't honestly believe that Hogan and Flair aren't going to end up in the middle of the cage beating the crap out of each other?
I can dream, can't I?
You know damn well that it's going to end up being that they're both going to end up in the middle of the cage.
Similar rules to War Games. Two men start, one man added in intervals until everybody is in. Once everybody is in, Lethal Lockdown begins. Submit or surrender. Weapons can be used. A cage dropped from the bottom of the ring. Actually, submit, surrender, or pinfall, if I recall correctly.
The question here is that who is going to start this match? Because most of these matches, you've had some guys involved on both teams that have been extremely athletic and have the ability to go long distances.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Long-term times.
Nigel McGuinness. Go ahead.
For these matches. When you have the setup that you have here, looking at Hogan's team, you've got Abyss, Van Dam, Hardy, and Jarrett. Jarrett can't go that long. You know that's going to be the case. You probably are going to start with Van Dam. Hardy, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see Hardy get switched out to sell the fireball thing that happened with him from last week, which, by the way, if you could get any more bush league by using a fireball on television in a wrestling show, tell me how it is.
Because that looked as bad as Hogan in The Ultimate Warrior back in World Championship Wrestling.
That was as Bush League as you could possibly imagine. I really couldn't. I saw the highlight. I think it was absolutely deplorable what it was done. But I could certainly see Jeff Hardy being switched out of this match, or this match turning into a 3-on-4 setup, which would involve Hogan getting involved in the match, which would be just deplorable beyond belief.
Please, no. Please, dear God in heaven, who I love so much, please don't let Hogan and Flair wrestle in this match.
So right off the bat, you've got problems on Hogan's team with who can go the long distance, while on Flair's team, you do have James Storm, who is a lethal lockdown veteran, who's done these matches before and who could probably end up going the 30, 45 minutes that'll be necessary before the cage comes down, yada, yada, yada. Bottom line here is I think Flair's team is going to win, because I don't honestly think that Hogan's team is going to come into this match on an even keel. I think Jeff is going to end up getting pulled out of this match, either to A, sell the injury, or B, to pull him out in order for him to hopefully get his legal troubles fixed. I mean, the fact that he's wrestling with these legal troubles still hanging over his head is absolutely just insane, in my opinion. But the way they had this set up, they had this perfectly set up to take Hardy off television for whatever reason, and either A, switch him with somebody else. The only other person that is feasible to switch him in, and this just popped into my head, could possibly be Samoa Joe, since Samoa Joe has basically dropped off the face of the planet for the past how many number of weeks since his so-called abduction. But with this question mark of Jeff Hardy's ability to compete, in my opinion, for this match, I think Flair's team will win.
Real quick here for the ESPN terrestrial listeners, we will not be going to sports. I'll be going back to regular programming here. That's it for us. That's lockdown. We're done.
Another week, and more chaos from the chaotician, and more truth being developed by the truth detector.
Coming up on the SundayNightShowdown.com, Island of Misfit Shows, We're Not a Network. JJ,
we're not sure about it this week. You'll have to check the local listings to see if Quick Picks is coming on board. It has not been confirmed as whether or not Quick Picks will follow us. Okay. If it does, be sure to check it out. But if it doesn't, be sure to check out the flagship tomorrow night, Sunday Night Showdown. If Quick Picks does not follow us tonight, Quick Picks will come on briefly at 7 p.m. on Sunday for an hour special prior to the lockdown pay-per-view coverage beginning at 8 p.m.
And do yourself a favor. Make sure you catch Sunday Night Showdown Sunday night with JJ Mark the Shark and Internet Dave and Harmony, all the rest of the gang.
Who the heck is Internet Dave? Mr. Anderson is not Internet Dave's biggest fan.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Another plug since we're doing plugs. Check out the Headlocks Lounge this Friday night with my man Slick Clint, CJ Bowman, and of course Chris, Chris, the internet sensation he wishes, Crowley Kelly. Check them out here on SundayNightShowdown.com. And how many more plugs can we do? Should we plug WNL? Nah,
no,
we don't want to make Trey happy.
We'll plug Catch Wrestling News Live. Catch everybody
and
on the network.
To the Trey Dog lick his wounds some more after his defeat at the hands of the SCW World Heavyweight Champion. Yes, Trey, I said it. You're still sitting there licking your wounds after being beaten by the better man.
You know, you keep that up, and one of these times you are going to be backstage, and he's going to beat the ever-loving bejesus out of you.
You know what?
And I won't be around to help you.
Come get some, because I always have a little something in the back pocket waiting for the Trey Dog.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. It's another week here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Thank you so much for joining us here. ESPN Terrestrial back to regular programming. We don't know what's going on if we've got Quick Picks coming up. Check your local listings
for
that.
Have a good weekend. Have a good week, everybody.
All right. Remember, boys and girls, please take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio willing, and if the higher power lets me, Mike and I will be back to play with you all again next week. TPSradio.net, the SundayNightShowdown.com, Island of Misfit Shows, We're Not a Network, and right here on ESPN Radio.